Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank thee for the blessed opportunity we have to come to thy house to worship thee. We have many reasons to worship thee. Thou hast been so good to us. Thou hast been so good to us in the material way, the natural way. And thou hast been good to us spiritually. Saved us by thine amazing grace and bless us with spiritual life as we live here in this world. And bless us with the hope of heaven's pure world that someday we'll be glorified as Jesus Christ the Lord. We thank thee, O Lord, that we can experience a measure of thy glory as we live here in this world. For thy glory is Jesus Christ. And from time to time, we're blessed to see and rejoice in Jesus Christ and those things that Jesus has done for us. We humbly ask thee that thou would be with us this morning as we endeavor to worship thee, that we may worship in spirit and in truth, that thy servant may preach thy word in power and demonstration of thy spirit, and thy people may have ears to hear and hearts to understand. And above all, it may honor and glorify thee and then edify thy people. I thank thee for the church here at Flint River and those things for which she stands, and I pray that thy richest blessings will be with her, that she may grow and prosper in every way that would seem good in thy sight. Watch over and care us, we pray, and forgive us of our sins. And all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6 and verse 56. Again, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6 and verse 56. And this verse of Scripture reads, "And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." Jesus healed people with all kinds of diseases. He didn't heal everyone, but he healed people probably with any kind of disease that they had. He healed when there was no medical cure. I remember, I think if I'm not mistaken, from Christian radio, there were never any kind of cures or vaccinations for any kind of diseases until the 19th century. That's the 1800s. So it was long before them. And so he healed people that the only hope they had was within him, that Jesus would heal them. And not only did he heal, but he healed completely. For instance, what I mean by that is that those that were blind did not need to know what they were seeing. They'd never seen before, and so when they saw whatever it was, they didn't need to know what it was they were seeing. They already knew what it was. He blessed them with that. Those who were deaf did not need to learn sounds. And those who could not speak did not need to learn to speak, like I and all the rest of us, and our children, and everyone who's ever lived and had to learn how to speak. Everyone that's been born into this world had to learn how to speak. And I can remember some of the things that my son said, and I won't tell you any of those things. I might give you one, but not now. But if you want to know it later, I might give it to you. But nevertheless, the reason I don't say those things is because my daddy was the world's worst of never forgetting and never not pronouncing correctly whatever we said that was said incorrectly. He did that. And so I said, I'm not going to do that. But the only one I did was really not a joke on Robert, but a joke on Daddy. All right. But nevertheless, those who could speak, who gave the ability to speak, then they did not need to learn how to speak, because Jesus gave them that ability. When Jesus healed, it was the evidence that he was the Son of God. Now, this is important. When Jesus healed, it was the evidence that he was the Son of God. His healings were evidences of the Father's authority of what Jesus did and spoke. Now, and then the apostles also worked miracles. And the purpose of miracles was to show God's authority on a new message. And the miracles done by men have ceased. Now, I'll comment a little bit more about that in just a moment. But the ceasing of miracles shows God's message has been completed. That is the written Word of God. Now, let me say one other thing. That is, listen, somebody might misunderstand and say, there's no such thing as miracles today. Absolutely, that is not correct. I know of some perks, of some miracles that were done, and people that I knew, whom I pastored, and so forth. I know about miracles. God continues to work miracles, and as long as this world shall stand, God will continue to work miracles. And yet there's a difference in God working a miracle and someone else having the gift to cast out devils and heal and so forth. But I'll say one thing here concerning the miracles done by men. There are all kinds of claims that this one can work miracles and so forth. And yet, when Jesus sent the apostles out to preach the Word of God, He told them to, well, work miracles. And I won't get into all the details, but one of those miracles they were to work is raise the dead. Now, we hear of all kinds of miracles being done. But one miracle we don't hear about is someone raising the dead. And I won't go any further than that. But let me say this. There is such a thing as counterfeit miracles. Let me give you an example. One you know. And that is when Moses went before Pharaoh, you are aware that Moses cast his rod down on the floor of the ground or whichever one it was. Moses cast his rod down. And it became a serpent. And then I remember the movie Ten Commandments, wherever it ever happened this way or not. Pharaoh said, a simple magician's trick. Maybe that's what Pharaoh thought. I don't know. It's not in the scriptures. But it is in the scriptures that Pharaoh's magicians cast their rods down to the ground, and those rods became serpents also. Now let me ask you this. The God that was showing His authority on Moses, do you think He was showing His authority also on Pharaoh's pagan magicians? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you know what also happened there? That Moses, one serpent, ate all the other serpents of those pagan magicians. They did that. All right. So God was in one. He was not in. That's a counterfeit miracle. And I'm not going any further than that. But I will say one other thing, and that I'll repeat one other thing, and that is God still works miracles. God still works miracles. And it's good and right to pray that God would work a miracle in the lives of our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our relatives, or whomever it may be. It's right to pray for that, that God would do that. Because again, God still works miracles. All right? One of the truths we find in this particular passage of Scripture is, or verse of Scripture, is that Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Again, it's the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And it reads, "For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." All right, how was Jesus tempted with all points as we are, yet without sin? Well, Jesus, first of all, He was without sin, and yet He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the burdens of sin that we have. He was in all points tempted as we are tempted. And that's in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. And what that says is, for all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's again in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. All right, now when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, He was tempted three times by Satan. And each of those temptations in the wilderness by Jesus corresponded with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so in that way, Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted as we live here in this world. And then another thing we can say is Jesus is touched because we are a part of Him. Most of you know, I think, that I have two artificial hips. Just two. No more. Two artificial hip joints. And one was on 2002, the other one 2009. All right? Now, I didn't go around and say, well, my hip is hurting. Well, it was, of course. That's why I had to have surgery. All right? And that's why I had surgery. But nevertheless, it wasn't so much that my hip was hurting. I was hurting. Because the hip, the right one, when it hurt, the left one gave me no trouble then, but when the right one, when it was hurt, then it hurt me. And so it wasn't just that right hip joint that was hurting, I was hurting. And the same thing with the left one 7 years later. And so my brother and sister, Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities because we are a part of Him. We're a part of Jesus because we were chosen in Christ before the world began, as we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. As He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We are a part of Jesus Christ. All right? Jesus is touched with the weaknesses of our bodies. And that's in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. If you're in Mark, hold on to Mark, because there's a couple of other passages of Scripture I'm going there. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. And this verse of Scripture reads, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, which is Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our iniquities. And by the way, that's a quote from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. And it reads, thought I could do it without reading it, but it says, surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, that Matthew 8:17 is the fulfillment of that. But listen, shows the fulfillment of that rather. But in this He said, listen, surely He hath borne our sorrows. That is, Jesus bore it within His own body. I mean, it hurt Him also when it hurt us. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities and carried our sorrows. That is, Jesus carried our sorrows with Him. So again, He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, in this lesson, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 56, people put those with infirmities in the ways that Jesus would walk, whether it was in the city streets or in the country, wherever it may have been. When they knew Jesus was going to walk, then they put people with infirmities on the side of the street there. They knew Jesus was compassionate and had the power to heal. If people touched the border, that is the hem of Jesus' garment, then they were healed. An example of this is in Mark chapter 5 and verses 27 through 31. Mark 5 and verses 27 through 31. And it reads, when she had heard Jesus came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? The idea there, they could not understand that Jesus would say, who touched me? The woman touched Jesus' clothes and was healed. Jesus said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said that Jesus said, who touched me? Luke 8:45, where the same lesson is, it reads that Jesus said, who touched me? Well, the woman, when she touched the clothes of Jesus, even the hem of His garment, Jesus, the compassion of Jesus was touched. And though she did not physically touch Him any part of His body, and yet He said, I was touched there. Because the compassion of Jesus was touched. And Jesus knew He was touched because virtue went out of Him. And the word virtue is translated from the Greek word dunamis. By the way, we get dynamite. All right? And so that means power. Power went out of Jesus. And she was not only healed, Not only did she quit bleeding, but I would tend to think also that she was healed of the weakness. Now this woman, I'll say one thing about her. Listen, she knew that Jesus was there. She had to make effort to go where Jesus was. Remember that. And then there was a crowd around Jesus. She had to kind of move people out of the way so she could just get even to the hem of the garment of Jesus and touch his clothes there. Now that's how all the effort this woman had. Now we'll say more about that in just a moment. Now those who touched Jesus were made whole. That is to say that those that were on the side of the road, if they so much touched Jesus or the hem of his garment, they were made whole. That is to say that they were healed from their sicknesses. Now, they could get sick again from the same or some other sickness, but nevertheless, at that time, they were made whole. They would eventually die. For a prime example of that is Lazarus. I think the great majority of you know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Alright? Well, where is Lazarus today? Do you think if there was a man living on the face of the earth that was over 2,000 years old, that you know about it? I think you would. We'd probably hear something about him in the news practically every day, once a week anyway. Or the Friday evening Lazarus report, something like that. But nevertheless, Lazarus died again. But Jesus raised him from the dead. Alright? We also, as those in that day, we could be made whole physically. Now, Jesus works miracles today as he did as he walked among men. Now listen, I would tend to think every kind of healing is a blessing of Jesus. For instance, I had two successful hip surgeries. The doctor that did mine was a fine Christian man. He was a good surgeon. In fact, one of the other doctors in that practice told me this. He was more well-read until the day of his retirement than any other doctor there in that medical practice. And they were good, by the way. It's an orthopedic surgeon. And but listen, I want to tell you this. The Lord blessed him blessed me to have a good surgeon. It didn't matter that a man that taught at the Medical College of Georgia, as it was once called, he said, well, he was the best. Well, if he was the best, it didn't matter. Because the Lord had to bless his effort, and the Lord had to bless me to have a good surgeon. So the Lord blessed me to do that. Listen, the Lord can heal immediately. The Lord does that, by the way. The Lord can heal with medicine. The Lord can heal with surgery. The Lord can heal in a variety of ways. But the Lord does heal, in what? Though not always. Jesus does not always heal from diseases, but he does give grace to us in difficult times. And I thank the Lord for that. All right. Now, if Jesus heals us from any disease, we should praise him, because and it is for his glory. If Jesus heals us from something, we ought to praise him. Now, I tell you, brothers and sisters, I pray about things that 10 years ago, maybe, surely 20 years ago, I never thought praying about that. But I pray about it now. I remember a few weeks ago, I told some of you about going out with a chainsaw, and I went out. I didn't tell Catherine all of this, and she doesn't need to know. If I think she needs to know, I'll tell her. But there was a tree that was knocked down, and there had been another tree over. So I cut that tree that was bent over, I cut it off. And it was like a spring. It came back and hit me, though not hard, and knocked me down. I had a couple of sores right there on that elbow. Well, Catherine would put this big bandage over both of them day after day after day after day. Every time I took a shower, but then eventually it was healed. There were times it was on there for a long time. And I took it off just to look at it and rubbed lightly, and all the scabs came off. You know what I did? I thanked the Lord. Now, a number of years ago, I wouldn't have thought about that. But little things like that, we need to thank the Lord for his blessings. Again, we should praise him because it's for his glory. I could have had an infection there. Most of you know that I'm diabetic. And I don't heal as quickly as most people do. Most of you know I'm not a spring chicken. And for that reason, I don't heal as quickly as most people do. But nevertheless, the fact is the Lord blessed me to heal from a small thing, I suppose you might say. And I'm very thankful for that. And I thank the Lord for that. And if we recover from a disease, we need to thank the Lord for that. And it is to be to the glory of the Lord. Now, as we can be made whole physically, we can also be made whole spiritually. And that's what we certainly need to think about. And to be made whole, we must touch Jesus. By the way, touch, I think I overlooked it a little earlier. But, I don't remember just exactly the words. But to touch Jesus means to grasp Jesus. To get a hold of Jesus, if you will. And I don't say that, and that's sometimes used as a slang expression, but I don't use that as a slang expression. It means to grasp and hold on to Jesus. To touch Jesus means to attach ourselves to Him. Look with me, by the way, in the Gospel according to Mark again, chapter 8 and verses 34 through 37. Again, Mark 8 and verses 34 through 37. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Alright? As I mentioned just a moment ago, those who had various sicknesses could get sick again. And they got sick and they passed away for one reason or another. But if we made whole spiritually, we can need to be made whole again in our lives. And if we are whole, then we will strive to walk in the ways of Jesus. And we can find joy in our lives and living like Jesus. Now I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, there are many blessings. Well, let me stop right there just for a moment. Go back to this verse of Scripture. Jesus said this, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, there's a parallel in the woman that I mentioned in Mark chapter 5, I believe it was, where this woman, she was in a very weak condition. And so, she said, well, I just can't do that. She probably would not have been healed. But nevertheless, she went to Jesus, and in spite of the difficulty of the way, and she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, and she was made whole. But listen, he said, listen, if we're to follow him, that is to attach ourselves to Jesus, as the expression, touch Jesus, which means to attach ourselves to Jesus, that is, we've got to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not just something for you or any one of you, but it's a lesson for me too. It's a lesson for everyone. It doesn't matter what our situation may be in life. It doesn't matter how spiritually minded we may be. We need to remember this is something we need to do every day. Most of you know that I get up in the morning and do a few necessities, and like getting a cup of coffee, and then go back to my study and I read my Bible. I want to do that as much as I possibly can, so there's very little on my mind. And yet, as I do that, there really should be nothing on my mind. There's all kinds of things that pop in my mind when I'm reading the Word of God. And so I need to deny those things. I need to do what I can to put those things behind me so that I can read the Word of God, so I can concentrate on what's said or what's written in the Word of God, and I have a better understanding of the Word of God. I need to do that. I need to deny myself. I tell you one thing, like I like to watch the news in the morning. And when after I read my Bible, then I get up at a certain time, and before a certain news program comes on, then I turn it on. I like to watch that for a period of time. I hear some of the same things over and over, but I still like to watch it for a period of time. But listen, brothers and sisters, this morning and every other Sunday morning, which is the Lord's Day, that television does not come on. Maybe it shouldn't come on as early as it did the other day. You could say that, and that may be true. I won't go any further than that. But the fact is, listen, on Sunday morning, that television does not come on. Because, listen, I've got to put that behind me and concentrate on worshiping with the people of God. Whether I'm preaching the Word of God or I have some Sundays sometime in the future that I don't have appointments. And so if it's those Sundays where I'm just going to hear someone else speak from the Word of God, then I need to put that behind me. And so we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. That is, and like in this woman, in spite of the difficulties of life she had, she went to Jesus. And so, and the same applies to us. In spite of the difficulties that may be in our lives, we need to touch Jesus. That is to say, we need to attach ourselves to Jesus. We need to take up our cross and follow Him. All right? Again, as I said just a moment ago, if we're made whole spiritually, we can need to be made whole again. And if we are whole, as we ought to be, I don't mean to imply by that that we're perfect. No offense to those in the medical profession, but operating rooms are clean. Okay? There's no doubt in my mind. And they get them, no doubt in my mind, that they get them just as clean as they possibly can. But they're not germ-free. I don't suppose there's any way that you could make a place like that germ-free. If it was fumigated, every germ in there was killed before anybody got in there. When others got in there, germs would be in there. And they take all kinds of precautions to be clean. And yet at the same time, it's not germ-free. So it's not perfect. But when we are whole, that doesn't mean we're sinless. But it means that we're striving to follow the Lord. And we're trying to pattern our lives after the life of Jesus Christ as much as we possibly can. I hear some mighty good things on Christian radio. Yesterday afternoon, as I was going to the woods, I heard this man speak. I will quote from this man. And it says this: there are two kinds of Christians. Yeah, two kinds of Christians. All right, you say, well, what are they? Well, one is a noun. The other is an adjective. I can say I'm a Christian, but I need to have a Christian life. You see, the latter is an adjective. It's fine to be a Christian now, but it's good if we're a Christian now because we have a Christian life adjective. So that's the description of our lives. All right? We can find joy and joy of life in living like Jesus. And I tell you this, there are many blessings in the self-denying service of the Lord. One other verse of Scripture in Mark. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. And it reads, Jesus is speaking about rewards to His disciples. And He says in this verse of Scripture, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in My name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, that's amazing. Every little thing that we do in the service of God, He gives us a reward. Now, that reward may be like over in Ecclesiastes, I believe it is, when it says, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. You see, that reward for the cup of water, we may not get a reward right then, but I'll tell you, the Lord has promised if we do little things in the service of God, He will reward us. And the greatest reward that Jesus has for us is Himself. That's right. The greatest reward Jesus has for us is Himself. Now, it's not relationship. Relationship was settled before the world began. Because I remember I read in Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen in Jesus Christ. We're a part of Jesus Christ. That's close to a relationship. That's as close to a relationship as can be had. And yet, there's a difference in relationship and fellowship. And that's how Jesus blesses us with Himself. He blesses us to have fellowship with Him, to feel His felt presence in the person of His Holy Spirit. God help us, my brothers, to take up our cross and follow Him. Now, remember, let me go back to something that was said in there, that I said in there. That is that Whosoever shall lose his life, or who shall save his life, shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life, shall save it. Now, what does that mean? All right, well, it means if I'm just going to save my natural life and the things that the carnal things of this world, that is, those things that are not spiritual, if those are so important to me, then I can lose my life. I can lose the joys of my spiritual life. But if I'm willing to lose my life, that is, willing to give up the good things that the Lord has given me and all the good things I have, I believe the Lord has blessed me to have those things. If I'm willing to give up all of that for the service of God, then I'll gain my life. That is, I'll experience the joys of the fellowship of Jesus Christ, as I mentioned just a few moments ago. But remember, listen, the Christian life is not always an easy life. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. But I tell you this, my brothers and sisters, that if we're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many blessings in the service of God. The Lord help us, my brothers and sisters, to be faithful to Him and experience the blessings He has for us in our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.